You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Tuesday, so it's time to talk about the economy with Ian Cruickshanks, who's the chief economist at the Centre for Risk Analysis at the South African Institute for Race Relations. Now, before we get into the South African economy and corporate results and presentations that you've attended, Ian, I want to talk about xenophobia. And I wonder how the Institute for Race Relations, the South African Institute for Race Relations, approaches the problem of xenophobia against foreign nationals. And when I say foreign nationals, I mean African foreign nationals, so-called, and the extraordinary situation where Nigeria has apparently reached out to their residents down here or their nationals down here and said, we'll airlift you out. What an astonishing situation.
Yes. I don't know if it's scoring a political point here or quite what it is, but it certainly speaks to the very deep concern there is amongst the immigrant and worker population. And, you know, one of the services I use is the Uber taxi service, and then quite a number of them are employed as drivers there. And I always ask them, how's it going? She says, oh, we just stay out the way, don't go into the city centre. There's any number of no-go areas. And, of course, that has quite an impact on the business that they could be doing and are doing. So, they frequently say that we're being targeted, and as far as the targeting by the authorities is concerned, it's not always fair. But, you know, when you say in love and war, it isn't always fair.
Yes.
But it's a war zone.
What is your role? What is the Institute's role in this, if at all? Or is it beyond your portfolio, if you like? Is it not a role that you need to play but obviously do comment upon?
Well, what we can't do is to say, look, here's a workable document in President Ramaphosa's outlook and attempt to produce a working document for growth in the economy. But he doesn't seem doesn't give it the push that's needed to stamp strong authority on it. And our view is he's too busy looking over his shoulder at potential political threats rather than at getting busy on doing a number of small things one at a time for the economy.
Let's have a look at a piece of data that came out of the South African economy today, and it was manufacturing production, and for 3 months in a row, it is now down, I think. I'll give you the numbers in a second, but your general thought on the manufacturing economy.
Yes, it says here is a major contributor to the economy. Its manufacturing is 14% of GDP, of gross domestic product, so it's a significant contributor, and here we've got monthly, last 2 months, last quarter, all of the data points are negative, it's not as badly negative as it was, down minus 1.1% in the latest month compared to 3.6 in the previous, but it's still going further down from a low level on a year-on-year basis. This is accumulating, and I think that it's very worrying that the potential recovery sector to drive the recovery in the overall economy, to reduce jobs, to reduce returns of bank capital, is not working satisfactorily. And this is backed up by the fact that if you look at the purchasing managers index for the manufacturing sector, you know, it had one brief spike up in July to 52.1, August back to 45.7, and it turns out that spike was simply the laying in of stocks by people who were afraid, operators who were afraid that there may be a whole round of strikes which would cut production, mean that they would have to find they couldn't have enough stock to put on the shelves, and that would bring business to a slowdown. But it hasn't happened, and in fact the BMI for August was down to 45 index points. Below 50 means there's a contraction in the economy, so that just goes to show it. Manufacturing remains quite definitely in contraction, and I think that what it is it also spreads to other areas apart from the big manufacturer, all those that provide services to them. So, you know, it's a very sobering view of what's happening in the economy. We're not getting the recovery going. Mr. Ramaphosa, you know, you asked about it. He has some good ideas, but it doesn't come out strongly and say, I'm going to provide the credit for this sort of expansion. I'm going to see that the infrastructure is put into place. I'm going to see the people are properly educated, and so on. there just doesn't seem to be the political will. It seems to be too much looking over the shoulder and making sure that we're protecting ourselves. And I hope that's not pushing it too far, but that is the sort of understanding that we are getting from the situation at the moment.
Yeah, everyone's got good ideas, but whether they can implement them or not is another matter. So, it's an interesting situation that Mr. Ramaphosa is in. I just wonder if he's being hamstrung by certain elements within his own party. He wants to keep the party together rather than keep the country together. Let me just go through the manufacturing production numbers so we can contextualise what you've just said. Annual manufacturing production growth declined for the second consecutive month in July, down by 1.1% year-on-year, following a decline of 3.6% in June and a flat growth in May. The largest negative contributors were from petroleum, chemical products, rubber and plastic, declined by 8%, etc., etc. But generally, it's just bumbling along. There's no spark. That's what I hate about the economy. There's nothing going on.
And Lindsay, after the negative review of the petroleum products, plastics and so on, the next worst one was basic iron and steel products. What does that tell you? Come on, you know, the driving forces, are just there's no investment there. There's no new machinery being installed. There are no new factories being built. And I think there's little or no job creation. And because of the situation, you're getting the social spin-off of, you know, people are saying, well, whatever the reason is, I think that this Nigerian or that Nigerian is doing a job which I should be doing, and therefore I'm going to make sure that he stays away out of his job prospects. This sort of thing is definitely all tied up.
Yeah, sad situation. Anyway, let's have a look at when we go from the public sector, or rather from government statistics to the private sector statistics, there's been quite a few results coming out, to say the least, for companies with half-year and year-end to the end of June of 2019. Have you been to any presentations? Have you analysed any companies?
Yes. Before we do, I just want to say that looking at who's doing what in the market, look at the foreigners. There's a definite view of how we are considered as positive or not as an attractive investment destination for global capital funds. We're down by a net sales of 115 billion rands worth already up until the end of last week. That just says a huge withdrawal of investment funds from South Africa. Where on earth are we going to get the capital when the turnaround comes? Hopefully it will in due course. But that is it. But I've heard some interesting comments. One of the companies I went to yesterday, in fact, was AVI.
Yes.
They have a strong presence in the food sector. Basic foods like canned pilchards, for instance. It's a huge spinner, a huge sales factor. And then at the other end, you've got the shoe company, shoe retailer, Spitz. And various other outlets that they have, which are more upmarket. And the CEO, Simon Crashley, was saying that they're feeling it in all sectors. This old adage about when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Those who have money will always spend it. He says they're just not doing that. And, you know, it's the whole breadth of the economy is quiet and turning down. And under these circumstances, they see that it could get tougher in the year ahead, and they don't see a turnaround branch that they can work on just yet. And I think that, you know, that wasn't isolated. Other companies have had similar comments, and but certainly, if we're looking for a retail-led recovery, it's not in sight. It just isn't there at the moment.
And so what they're saying is that despite the results have come out and the market actually applauded these results, because I think AVI was up something like 2.5% yesterday. I looked at the results and I thought, well, obviously people were expecting worse. So it's a bit of a short covering rally or some bargain hunting. But what he's saying is that since the results have been collated, there has been no turnaround. And I keep on using this personal experience, but I'm in Cape Town at the moment, Ian, and yeah, I went to the waterfront over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Both days, the place was full of people. It was full of people at takeaway joints, in other words, cheap food, McDonald's, Wimpy, and KFC, and then the corridors were full. But you walk along shop fronts, and the shops, whether they are selling shirts for 250 rand or for 2,500 rand, there was nobody in the shops. And when I say nobody, one or two people in the shops, people just there window shopping. And I found that quite telling. And restaurants were half full as well.
Yes. Now, I want to tell you an experience I had. I was in one of our local shopping malls, and I had to go from one side to another. I said, oh, I'll just pop into Edgar's, and I'll make use of the internal escalator to get up one level.
Oh, yeah?
And then I got up at about the halfway stage. I looked around and said, and I hope they're open. I couldn't see anybody in the whole of a huge floor space. Me. I said, where are the customers? Never mind that. Where are the helpers? These people used to be very prominent in their red jackets. There were neither customers nor helpers inside. So I said, I'm going to check on this. And I got to the top and went down again. And I had understood it correctly. The place is just not abandoned, but you know, that's the feeling one gets. And apparently, so the retailers are saying, the footfall may be there, but the spending per basket is drying up. And that's quite a worrying situation, I think.
Yeah, I can remember very distinctly when I'd forgotten a tie. I was going to do some presentation or something in Cape Town, and I popped off to somewhere in the northern suburbs of Cape Town, and I went to an Edgar's, and it was 9:15. The place had opened at 9:00. I couldn't find anybody. I suddenly had this fear that I'd actually walked into the wrong entrance and that the place wasn't open. Not only were there no customers, but there were no staff either. It was actually quite scary, very spooky indeed. Yes, retail is under pressure. But is it a situation where this is the bottom? I mean, and the valuations that we're currently seeing on the JSC justifies the almost predictable failure. I mean, price to fail, if you see what I mean.
Yes. And when they talk about recovery, the improvements are not coming in higher sales, better sales. It's all cost-cutting. And that's the only way that there are any improvements in almost any business, particularly public-facing businesses. And that does just say that the idea of job creation, of stimulation of the economy, is not going to happen. And I think they'll be stuck for a while at a pretty low level of low to no growth. And whoever one speaks to has a similar outlook, whether it's banking, retailer, building operations, whatever it is. I think that's common, and that's why I think we've got to say, Mr. Ramaphosa, please take note. It's the economy that counts. You know, let's do whatever we can. We've got to build up confidence. We've got to make investors certain of the sanctity of their assets, certain of the reliability of the electricity supply. We had a breakdown for 3 hours last night, and it was off, and that was it. Nothing I can do about it. Thankfully, it came down. It came back again. But the disagreements with the labor unions, I know this is a strike season, but that's doing investment no good at all. And I think, yeah, there we are. That's the situation that we're with. And when we're looking for stocks to buy, we've got to be very careful in what we want to recommend at the moment. It's got to be those that can manage in a very tight cost and reward system.
Apart from AVI, what have you been to, or rather, what have you seen coming across the Stock Exchange News Service? Because there's been a lot of results recently.
There was one on the property side, one of the major property developers, and I'm just trying to look through them. But you know, it's the same thing. Momentum Metropolitan, that was an interesting one, very much in the financial services area. And they put these two separate companies together. There's been quite a difference in the types of companies, but they're getting them together, and the way they're getting ahead, cost cutting. You know, that's what it all comes down to. It's always cost cutting and nothing else. I went to Cash Build, and there they say, well, we're making headway on the fact that we sell for cash, we don't have any credit, and they're outstanding, and that's it. That even the Bucky Builders are visiting us less often. Major property developer, WBHO, the old Wilson Daly Homes Ofcot, and they said there is no infrastructure development. They're keeping themselves occupied and open here, but it can't be for too long because they can't afford working for very limited or no or even reverse margins in the longer term. So I'm afraid, you know, there's quite a lot of that. And I think that sums it up, that the view of the Treasury growth plan that we were looking for. Well, I tell you what, this evening I'm going to a talk addressed by the Governor of the Reserve Bank, Cedric Kenyatta, and I'm quite sure he's going to tell us why we're not getting the action that we want. And if he doesn't tell us, I'm going to ask the question. We want to know why we haven't got action following this new plan. You know, it's good words, but where's the action?
Are you going to ask him if he's going to cut interest rates, and do you believe that he should cut interest rates, or is interest rate policy in South Africa a stable but blunt sword?
I think that in South Africa, we can't afford to cut rates, and we can't afford to bring our rates any closer to world global investment rates in case we have even more of an investment capital outflow. You know, at $115 billion outflow already this year. You know, if interest rates are cut, maybe the funds that we have internationally go to some other emerging market. And that wouldn't be too amusing to see any significant amount of funds being pulled from the South African market. That's a bit of a threat, I think. That's a heck of a threat. So that's, I think, why we're probably going to have interest rates in South Africa remain where they are for the time being, certainly until the end of the year.
Just briefly, we never often talk about the overseas markets from your point of view. I talk about it to lots of other commentators. What is your view of what's happening on the overseas markets when it comes to politics, geopolitics, and the global economy?
Well, I think, frankly, that, you know, if we just look at what's happening in the UK, look at what's happening in Germany. I mean, they are perilously close to having a recession. Germany, the engine room of the whole European Union. That just sounds that it couldn't happen. But that's how close it is. And I think that there has been so much uncertainty. Certainly Brexit has caused a lot of it too. The UK was always a big global trader. There's less of it, wherever it is. I think if somebody had said, so what would you do with your money? I'd put it in ETF that had corporate bonds, where the interest was very well covered. And I think, you know that at least if they do cut rates further, you've got capital protection and maybe some advancement. But it's not very exciting, but I think that safety first is a watchword now.
Safety first it is. Ian, thank you so much for your insight. As always, that's Ian Cruickshanks. He's the chief economist at the Centre for Risk Analysis at the South African Institute for Race Relations. And that was The Economy.
That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.